So many questions were answered tonight, but the big question still stands. How are Tandy and Tyrone going to defeat Andre? Well, it's time to shed some light and darkness on the Cloak & Dagger After Show on AfterBuzz TV.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Yes! Uh-oh. Get it. Get it, Steph. Drew, you're going to get... Are you good? You good?
Yeah, okay. I was getting hot, but it was too complicated.
Yeah, she's good. Look at her.
It's just the anxiety after the episode.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
The amazing episode. Welcome, everyone, to the Cloak & Dagger After Show on AfterBuzz TV. We are covering Season 2's Episode 9, Blue Note. So I'm your host, Ollie Drennan. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We are back at our time slot of 8 p.m., I have an amazing panel with me. We are down a member, Carla Beltran. She's vacationing. She is not in the quantum realm. She's not stuck, but go show her some love. She'll be back next week for the finale. I am here with Mr. Jones.
Hey. Hey.
Also, I have a question, quick question.
Okay.
Because you know I do these sometimes. What are you most excited about for Comic-Con this year, Drew?
Oh my gosh. Just all... I love seeing the costumes. Mm-hmm. Those are always really cool. And then I love the premiere of, like, new movies and mm-hmm. stuff. Like, all that stuff gets me really hyped.
Yeah. And, of course, we have Steph Zabrol in the house.
What's up, guys?
What are you excited for Comic-Con?
First of all, to be with you guys.
Yeah.
We have such a good AfterBuzz BHL right. popcorn time group coming to Comic-Con. Secondly, it's the best experience. I feel like everyone from the shows who goes, the actors, the showrunners, the writers, everyone, it's such a safe space for nerds.
Right.
And it's so cool to be a part of it. The interviews are always awesome.
Yeah.
But like Drew said, the releases. It's cool to be like actually where everyone's tweeting about.
And the parties.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Because press gets rowdy.
And the drinks at
writers
the
party. Get rowdy.
Right, listen, no one can party like nerdy comic book writers.
I swear.
Well, I hope Cloak & Dagger attends San Diego Comic-Con, so maybe we can party with them. Shout out to you writers, Joe, all you guys, cast and crew, you guys are amazing. This is why we're here. We love it so much.
Yes.
We have so much to talk about. We got to talk about Tandy, Tyrone, Bridget, and Andre, because we learned a lot of tea about him in this episode. But initial thoughts first of this particular episode. I know this, not a whole lot happened, okay, but it filled in a lot of holes in this episode.
Before my initial thoughts, a lot of people in the chat are saying they're going to Comic-Con. We should definitely set up a meetup.
Let's do it.
So we'll figure that out, and we'll get back to you all, but we should
do a meetup. I would love that.
Because that would be super fun. But my initial thought was I love a villain backstory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this was just like bread and butter for me. Like, I was just like, yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. And I just love that Andre is like, he's a legitimate bad guy. Because I feel like a good villain, there's like certain ingredients for a really good villain. And I feel like he checked all the boxes for me.
Yeah. He's legitimately selfish, which I think is where a lot of villains' drive is from. Mm-hmm. It's just they don't have a capacity for empathy. Leah is a very dimensional victim-turned villain-esque, but makes her not really a villain in that sense, but also still a villain. And full circles, I feel like, character arc-wise for both Tandy and Tyrone. Those final scenes with them two, Tandy addressing mayhem and being, like, defining kind of what justice should be and not throwing it in people's faces like she's done all season. And then Tyrone realizing he can't be the person to solve everything, but does what he can.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's, this episode kind of read to me as, like, everyone's kind of making points, except for Andre, but I saw, like, we'll talk about it later, but, like, Bridget versus Tandy, like, they both made valuable points with Bridget saying, well, we gotta kill her. She doesn't make her less of a bad guy, so, but obviously I was here for Tandy not wanting to kill Leah, but we'll get to that in a minute. First off, we gotta talk about Tyrone, because to me, Tyrone... Aww. Has came a long way, and I'm so excited to see him really step it up and become like this boss. Really, I loved he is at such a good status right now, but I do feel bad for the women in his life because obviously his mom, Adina, just got done killing Connors not too long ago, episode ago. And then, obviously, Tandy's kind of in, like, this weird place. What did you guys think of Tyrone in this episode and all the women who are kind of... little hesitant.
Tyrone is a super passive character in terms of like how he balances out Tandy. And I loved that this episode, especially, we got to see him on the aggressive side and it be like he really bossed up. Like this entire episode, I was like, hell yeah, throw him off the side of the building.
but catch
and
them.
Then catch him.
And then catch him.
Like, I just like, I loved how fully into his powers he was. Like when he pulled up on old boy, like, Let me not let the ghetto come out. When he was like making everybody disappear in the restaurant, and then he like posted up on the table and was like,
mm-hmm.
And like the guy was like, okay, I see you. Like, chill.
Mm-hmm.
I love that because Tyrone was like, so what's up?
But
what's going on?
Yeah, that was so cool because just knowing where he was in the beginning of the season, he didn't have that type of confidence, you know, radiating from him because of his living arrangement. He was kind of on the run, but now he's really here. Kind of doing the solo dolo thing right now and actually it being successful for him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I completely agree with what Drew said. Every time he was doing that, I'm like, oh, you're like grown.
Mm-hmm.
Like, right, I like this. But I just really like where they're going with Tyrone. He's mm-hmm. such a lovable character. But I also like that he's kind of understand. I like that they're blurring the lines of not everything's black and white.
Right.
Everything's so metaphorical in this show, I swear.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I love that both of them are kind of realizing the good, the bad, the in-betweens, whatever it may be. They're vigilantes at the end
right.
of the day.
Even Tyrone's mom's a vigilante.
Yeah.
Jesus.
She was out here gang playing.
I don't know what you guys think about that. I'm fearful because I love me some Gloria portraying Adina. She is killing that role. What are you? I know this is kind of more predictions, but I'm so afraid of Tyrone when he finds out about that.
I think he knows.
You think so?
He's gonna have like he's gonna find out if he doesn't already. But I mean,
she did what she had to do.
I mean,
I don't
know.
Yeah, what I don't know, like. I feel like on one end, Drew brought up such great points about black women kind of having to repress every single emotion without
right.
being demonized as some crazy woman.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like, I don't know if this goes against.
It's gray. It's not black and white.
It's one of those, it's like, it wasn't the best route to go down. But we're here and we're in the car and we're going.
And
so,
I
buckle up.
Yeah, I trust the show to make it purposeful. Mm-hmm. We just don't know what the purpose is yet.
Right.
I think it will tie into a storyline that really matters.
Okay.
I also kind of feel like it's very, like, eye for an eye.
Mm-hmm.
Because the great...
Justice for Billy.
Because we used to have a first lady in our office. I don't know if you know her. Her name's Michelle Obama. And she said, when they go low, we go high. But Adina said, when they pop a cap, we pop too. And I can't get mad at that, you know?
I love it so much.
Oh, Drew. My God. You better pull that clip.
It's just... You know, to each their own.
Retweet.
Yeah,
different strokes for different folks.
I love it so much.
Listen.
Well, I think Tyrone definitely had a good episode this episode. But before we get to Tandy, we want you guys to do us a favor. Give us that 5-star review on iTunes. We'd really appreciate that. If you don't have iTunes, well, give us a 5-star in the comments. We would also really appreciate that. We are doing the show because we love it, and we love talking about it with you guys. You know, if you're not joining in live, that's totally fine, but... You can DM us. We just really love the show so much, and we just want to make it the best after show for you because it means the world to us. You are just as much part of the show as we are.
Yes.
So, did I miss anything?
No.
No, I'm just very passionate about this.
We like y'all.
No, yeah. We like the iTunes review.
Right.
Love you 3,000.
And if you give us a 5-star review, you might be in the running to win this special comic book that's signed by some of the cast that stopped in to AfterBuzz this season. So... It's really easy and free to do, so you might just be winning that. But for more details, stay tuned for the end of the after show to know more.
I was just thinking about this earlier, seeing as we only have one episode left and we haven't gotten everybody in here who we'd mm-hmm. like to. I just think that whoever wins, we should give them the option that if they would like to wait a few weeks, we can take that book with us to Comic-Con and get everybody.
Yes. So. Yes. I would. Oh, girl. Drew's got your back.
I just be out here thinking.
I
know,
love that. I love that.
I want you to get all of it.
Right.
Everything you need.
In life.
All of it.
More life.
life. Well, I want Tandy to get more life, definitely, because she's not like Tyrone. She's kind of at an opposite position than Tyrone because her mom, come to find out, her mom's being taken over by Andre, which I saw coming by the end of the episode, or by the beginning of the episode. So I really feel bad for her. What did you think about Tandy in this episode along with, well, not Bridget, Mayhem? Because they had a showdown, okay? It was awesome.
First off, I wish somebody would try to come for my mama. She's going to get Iroquois Park real quick. But I'm actually very proud of Tandy because this entire season, I've been wanting to throw one of her light daggers at her because she's been such a victim blamer. But this episode, she really, like,
yeah,
especially with Leah, who I feel like caused a lot of abuse towards Tandy. I was really proud of her to, like, recognize that Leah was a victim, too, and to try to protect her and, you know, go as far as to go into her memories and whatnot and, like, fight for her. I was like, look at you coming around.
And I thought
growing.
Leah, right. No, I thought Leah was dead, too. Last
yeah.
I was wrong last after show. I thought Leah was dead. I also said Evita married Papa Legba, but thank you guys for correcting me. She actually married Samdi.
Yeah.
Who was the one in the arcade, right?
Yeah.
So thank you guys I think it was Nicholas, Kelly, I think you said that, and Lorenzo. Thank you for correcting me. But anyways, back to Tandy.
I love Tandy's storyline this episode because I feel like we finally understood how he got all of the records.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so we have the scene where when him and Leah originally opened this center for people to talk about what trauma right. and abuse mm-hmm. that each of them were getting, like, clocked in with them. But mm-hmm. Tandy, I love that she can finally see that there's more to the story, like with her mom mm-hmm. and now with Leah and Michaela. She sees that it's not just what is shown, and it's not just, oh, you should just leave if it's just if they're hurting you. It's way, way more than that. Yeah. And she finally sees that.
And I love that we find out that Leah actually wasn't, because I think it was painted early on in the season that she didn't have a family, she didn't have X, Y, and Z. And I like that she was like a doctor and, you know, mm-hmm. grew up in a two-parent home and had all of this going yeah. on, because it, like, crimes against women don't, like, they don't just go, I mean, there's a group of women who they target more than others, but it's mm-hmm. not, this is something that affects all of us. And I think it's very easy with situations like this, or, you know, situations like Black Lives Matter or the abortion ban and whatnot. Like, it's very easy to be like, well, that doesn't apply to me
right.
or I can't personally benefit from this, so I don't care that much. But it's like when you realize that it's something that can pertain to all of us and affect all of us in one way, shape, or form. I think, although, like, you should have empathy for everyone because, like, don't be a douche. But right. I think it was a dope picture to paint. Like, no, it's not just, like, these poor urban inner city girls.
Yeah.
It's like, no, it can get me, you, Sam, right. Jill, whoever.
Because Andre just snatched her up from her.
Yeah.
Like, even though that wasn't, I remember there was some, just like Tandy snatched. Remember when Tandy snatched her back in the hotel? But yeah, Leah was not all of, she at first I thought she started out as a mm-hmm. villain, but she wasn't. She was like a doctor, like you said, even though that wasn't her true passion, music was her true passion. And I remember that's how when they touched, that's how we got her. He already had her as soon as they touched.
Side note, ladies, if a guy ever convinces you to leave a steady job in life.
Are you kidding me?
Because he says that he needs you. Run.
Remember that Lauren Conrad didn't go to Paris because she stayed for a stupid boy. And guess what? She's not with that boy.
Steven.
No, it was Jason.
Jason.
You know what Jason's doing? Not being freaking cool.
No, okay? Just like despair.
Stay in school. Keep your job.
They'll keep your records for life.
Coins will never break your heart.
You guys are amazing. I love you guys.
Get your bag. Get in your bag out of your feelings.
Catch flights, not feelings.
I love you guys so
okay,
much.
Okay, we're done.
We love you.
No, but you know what is cool? It's cool seeing Tandy, like a lot of viewers such as myself, learning more about victims and where they come from and not just to kind of the victim play, as Drew was saying. And I really do believe that Tandy is really atoning for her sins of kind of enacting a similar way that Andre was doing. Because, you know, we know Tandy's kind of manipulated guys in the past and other people and just been, she's being kind of rude to her mom, her poor mom, who is a victim of abuse and alcoholism as well. So it was cool to see her really try to make up for her past mistakes. And I just really want her to do so.
I know when she called her mom, I was like, good job, Tandy.
But I already knew something was up with her. Yeah. It makes sense. Everything, like, it really did. I think this episode did a really good job of filling in the holes of, like, oh, what's going on with her mom? It's because she's, I forgot that her mom was there in the therapy session. Mm-hmm. So Andre had her in his grasp.
And it would make sense why she went back to drinking and drugs. Because, totally. Like, he was taking the hope out of her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is Tandy's gift.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I want to see her using that. We've been talking about it, and I feel like it's been implicitly.
I think it's there, coming.
But I would love to see that actually be a part of her toolbox.
Yeah, I really feel like this season. This season we saw Tandy step it up with her powers, but I feel like this season was really Ty getting into his.
Yeah.
Like, because he's just good. Like. He's
teleporting everywhere.
He's like puff, puff, poofing, passing.
He's like, let me take you on a little skydive.
Yeah, he said, skirt, skirt. Now you see me, now you don't.
It's literally like Aladdin.
Yeah, Tandy's powers have grown. I do believe that. Like, she's gotten more daggers, but not to the level of Tyrone, I don't think.
Yeah.
But, you know.
We'll see it, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if next episode she totally. Because we saw them step up together, but I do think his is a little more developed right now.
But I also think that Tyrone hasn't needed as much character development as far as, like, spiritually needing to grow and, like, develop
that part.
And so I think it's dope that we're seeing him do that with his powers. But then on the flip side, we are seeing Tandy grow significantly as a person, as a woman, as, you know, daughter, friend. And so in its own right, that is her building up her powers because it's like she, I think, in order to really embrace who you are as a person, you have to fight to be a whole person. And when we met Tyrone and Tandy, we really kind of met Tyrone as like a fairly whole person, but Tandy was in shambles. And so we're watching her pick up her pieces and find her worth and find her core. And so I think next season will really be when she snaps.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. God damn. I'm excited. We don't have confirmation yet, but I think we will be getting season 3. I don't know about y'all. It was nice to see our girl Mayhem back in the action, because obviously Mayhem. Also about Mayhem, you can tell it's Mayhem when her hair, because her hair's more curly, and then Bridget O'Reilly, her hair is more straight. So I love the discrepancies. And
Mayhem comes for the looks.
I just want to shout out your guys' nails, too.
I got that poison green,
For podcast listeners, she got the poison green stuff, and also Drew, she has Bridget's color.
Yeah.
Because Bridget had red, or like, kind of like
I went for a little, I saw it last week, and I liked the color, and blood. I think it subconsciously, like, inspired it when I went to the salon.
Together, we're unstoppable.
I love it.
Side note, I loved the Luke Cage reference in this episode.
Where was it?
When he's talking to the kid from the gang, Solomon, he was like, they were talking about Luke Cage and how Luke Cage, you know, is bulletproof and all this stuff. And Tyrone says, you know, I think Luke Cage would still be out here in these streets, even if he wasn't, because he knows it's the right thing to do. And I thought that was such a fun little drop of, like, Marvel reference. Totally.
And going off that, when they said, I've heard he's bulletproof and he's just like us, you know? Like, that's what I love about Luke Cage's character.
Yeah, and that's why representation is important, because, you know, you get to see somebody on TV who looks like you and is badass and is powerful. In this case, like, this person's real. But, like, when you have representation, you can see what greatness looks like in your skin tone, in your body. It's motivational, and it can change lives. I never thought I would be a person who was on TV and whatnot until but I was fortunate enough to grow up with, like, Raven Simone, who looked a lot, like, physically and skin tone and whatnot, looked like me. And I was like, cool, I can be on TV. So I thought that was dope that, you know, it was a little nod to how representation's important.
No, absolutely. It totally is. It's really important. And I think it's such a confidence builder, too, for so many factors such as gender, race, sexual orientation, and it's nice that Marvel, and also Freeform, I think, is pretty good with the representation, and I think especially aimed towards youth, where we are in this day of age where, you know, it's scary. Sometimes I have pink hair, gosh darn it, so that's not the most masculine thing for a man, So just
you're
to
all
see-
man, Ollie.
Yeah, hell yeah.
You're all man.
No, but no, I completely agree with you. I think it's beautiful what the show's doing and just more media such as Marvel implementing it, because it really does matter. I mean, we just had Captain Marvel, so a female, strong
yes.
female. And all, and just, oh, it just makes me really happy.
Last thing about the call to Luke Cage, what's so cool about Marvel and these comics that were written in the 60s and 70s with Luke Cage and Cloak is that Cloak is obviously with the hoodie and it, like, is some sort of metaphor of the hoodie and then being bulletproof as a black man. It's like people are like, oh, well, this never existed. Like, police brutality never existed. All these things never existed. But it's like this was written then and it's always existed. And it's cool to see the writers of Marvel have always been a place of acknowledging right. yeah. what reality is.
That's yeah. why I don't like it when people, like, it really offends me when people crap on comics and nerd culture, and especially Marvel and DC, because there is so much social commentary. And like, we have badass Storm. Like, everyone knows who Storm is. She is a household name, and it just makes me, and there's so much depth to these characters and depth to where they come from. And it's just crazy that, like you said, these were characters made years ago and how diverse they are back in the day. And people don't care. It's just like they write it off because it's, oh, it's comics. It's there's lots of depth to it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Black Lightning fans know last season I went on a bit of a rant because we had a troll in the chat who kept getting upset that we were talking politics and race and, you know, all the goods. And my response to that person was that if you can't handle those topics, if you can't handle talking about, you know, police brutality or feminism or drugs being infiltrated into inner cities and whatnot, and politics in general, you shouldn't watch or read or participate in comic culture, because comic books were an artistic way of responding to the things mm-hmm. that plagued us in those different times. And I mean, Wonder Woman was on feminism, and Black Lightning, obviously, with, you know, police brutality, and then Cloak and Dagger with the drug push in inner cities and whatnot. And so I think it's so dope that they stay true to it, because it is a tangible way to understand these struggles. And I think a lot of times for people who don't necessarily live in those struggles, sometimes it's hard for them to sympathize with their neighbor, but it's easy for them to sympathize with a character in a book. And so I think it's really dope that we have comics and we have shows like this that can paint this picture and make people go, how the hell is this happening? Mm-hmm. Like, or how the hell could someone possibly, like, let that happen? And then you can be like, well, actually, it's happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's why.
And it's dope. Another note, sorry. I think we kind of brought it up last year, but the fact that Tyrone, his, like, cloak is a hoodie, and the fact that Luke Cage is in a black hoodie, and when you think of the significance behind the black hoodie in the Black Lives Matter movement with
Trayvon Martin.
With Trayvon Martin, and just how much power to take that back, to take that power back into that hoodie. I just think it's, like, dope, and I just applaud
Hell yeah.
this entire team.
No, that was really well said. Freaking beautiful. I was about to say another word, but we're trying to keep this clean for the chitrins. Gosh, I love that little tangent we all went on. That was beautiful. Talking
yeah,
about
we
comics
just,
and stuff.
We just jumped
Listen,
in a black hole.
Real
I was ready about. Oh my gosh, it was so good.
Hashtag BL.
Well, let's get to Andre, or AKA Despair, because we learned so much about him. Also, this is kind of predictions too, but he was suicidal because he ended up losing his music, and he jumped from the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And my first instinct was like, he went to brunch. He
yes.
jumped into the water, and instantly I thought, did he jump the night when the accident happened?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
So that's a thing. So that's how he got his powers?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That was
into
confirmed?
Into a sea of bottomless mimosas.
Yeah, so that's why he didn't know. I think they said 96 months. Yeah, I wrote it. 92 months ago. Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that I was, like, not crazy. I'm like, wait, that was the same night.
So. Yeah, it was the same night. This is my thing about Andre, and this is why I like him as a villain. And stay with me. I'm not saying I like him, but I love villains who, like the Joker, for instance. The Joker is just straight up crazy. There's no means to why he is the way he is. The Joker just enjoys destruction. And he's very narcissistic in that. I like Andre or Despair as a villain because Andre is strictly about him. There's no world domination. It's strictly I need to get mine and I don't care who is affected by it. Mm-hmm. And I think when you hit villains like that, there's not a lot of reasoning because most people, whether we want to admit it or not, we're not willing to sacrifice ourselves for the well-being of others. And so I just don't see, the entire season, it's never been an option of what are we going to do with him? It's been an option of, okay, who's going to kill him? Mm-hmm. And I kind of like that there's that dire, like, there's no negotiation in their mind for him. It's just like, we're going to have to kill him.
Yeah, because I've yet to kind of feel any, like, sympathy towards him. I've now felt sympathy towards Leah and kind of even seeing her as a child. I was like, oh, I feel bad for her now. But, no, that's a really good point that you bring up because I've never felt for his character yet. I don't know. We don't know why he's doing what he's doing other than to become a god. That's what it is. He has such a god mentality. And we see it in this episode. We learned that he is trying to build an audience. So clearly he was trying to build an audience to play a blue note, which is what the episode's called. And it's funny because blues, kind of like blues mm-hmm. and jazz, is kind of like this weird, sad feeling. It's beautiful. It's beautiful music.
Jazz was created in a time when there was no platform for Black people, and it was a way to filter through pain, and it's a music style that was rooted in pain, mm-hmm. in hurt, and so it's very cool to see. It makes
sense.
Yeah,
that he's harnessing it in order to become, to lift himself up, even if it's a horrible thing, yeah. What he's doing to people. He's just a bad villain.
Yeah, he just wants to stop.
Well, he's a good bad bro. Villain.
Oh my god.
Were you gonna say something? Sorry.
No, I just like I agree with Drew. Like he's just bad and he's the type of person where there's nothing you can do except for kill him. Like legitimately, like if you were in Tandy and Tyrone's position, because there's no way common government would understand or begin to understand the capabilities he has.
Yeah. And I think it comes back into the idea that they've kind of been playing with where it's like, what is enough? Like what really makes justice served? You know, like, is it life imprisonment? Is it death? Like, what at the end of the day is going to make this situation okay? And that's kind of, like, the issue here is it's, like, granted in the comics, you know, they were vigilantes and they did kill people. But so far right now, they haven't really mm-hmm. killed anybody. I mean, Tandy might have.
No, she hasn't yet.
She hasn't? Think. Okay. But, I mean, we haven't seen them kill, like, a main character. Mm-hmm. Like, we haven't seen them kill someone who, like, they've had some sort of, like, interaction with.
Yeah.
And so that, on the one hand, that could really, that kind of alters your, like, your mindset a little bit. So it's like, is it worth altering my character to kill this person? Mm-hmm. Like, am I going to find justice just from, you know, putting this person away? Or is it going to empower me to just end this guy? So I think that's really interesting, too.
And what I love about Despair is I think he's a bigger metaphor for the two communities he's hit the most and the hardest is the, like, the gangs mm-hmm. and using them to get drugs and women and victims and making them even further in victimhood mm-hmm. and enslaving them. So I think he's a metaphor of kind of the greater oppression of minority groups, and that's what Despair is, and those groups oftentimes don't get justice. So mm-hmm. Tandy and Tyrone, and this is always with oppressed groups, you get to this point where it's like, do I have to take this into my own hands because other people aren't going to do it for me? What's institutionalized isn't mm-hmm. here for me.
Yeah. And there's no hope for Andre because he feels like this is the only way that he can do it. So he's going to continue doing this in order to become a god, in order to kind of have some power over the overall society that's been so hard on him.
Yeah. And I also think it's very, there was a conversation that Tyrone had with the two drug leaders where he basically told them, where he was like, I can't get you to stop selling to individuals, but like you have to stop selling to these people who are hurting other people. And I thought that was very interesting because I personally grew up in an area where there was, you know, some gang affiliation and whatnot. And I guess it's different for different places and stuff. But for some people, like for some gangs, at least, there is a code of like you can't sell to your own. And mm-hmm. so I just thought the whole, because like gangs, people don't want to be in gangs for the sake of being in gangs. Mm-hmm. There's nothing cool about being in a gang. Gangs are for protection. Gangs are for keeping a roof over your head. And gangs are for financial gain. And so listening to him talk to them was very interesting to me because it was just like they weren't registering it as people. They were registering it as like coins. Mm-hmm. And that whole conversation was really interesting because I feel like it shows how transactional that is. And it's not like a black on black crime or whatever. It's strictly like a survival thing. It's a survival of the fittest. So I thought that was, I don't know. This show is just like going off.
Yeah.
On many levels.
I agree. That conversation with the gang members was really important because a lot of times we think that they just sell drugs because they're harmful criminals. Mm-hmm. Some of them might be, definitely. Yeah. Every group has really just bad apples. But I think a lot of it is like, this is the way we make money. Right. We survive.
And you never know what families they might have. That's the way. They might even not even be harmful to anyone. That this yeah. is just their job. This is a business and we're just trying to support our families, our kids, whatnot.
I have you guys in the chat right now, so I'll definitely
is there anything,
take a look at it.
If anything catches your eye, if anything we're missing, I think we got a lot of good stuff to talk. We got almost everything right.
Yeah. Mm.
Really good. Well, let's get on to our special segment, which Drew is going to take over. Oh.
Woo! Baby!
I love
Saucy.
That. I got scared for a minute.
Oh my goodness.
Drew, what is this special segment that
yes,
we do?
Yes. Every week we do a little thing we like to call Cloaked and Daggered. It is where you and us give the highs and lows of the episode. Cloaked being the low moments because darkness. And Dagger being the highlights because light. So, if you're in the chat right now, if you're in our live chat, be sure to give it to us because Steph and I are looking.
Yes.
But do you want to start, Ollie?
Okay. I think my daggered moment, my high moment in this episode was just really seeing Tandy versus Mayhem and how they both made great points of, like, Tandy wants to atone for her sins, so she's going to not let Leah die, but also Mayhem kind of brings up this point. Well, she's still a bad guy, so I see where they're both coming from. But I was happy that Mayhem ended up not killing Leah, and mm-hmm. she didn't end up actually, like, harming Tandy. So it was not, and I just love the fight scenes. I'm here for the fight scenes. So that was my high for the episode. And then my cloaked was, what did I write down? Oh, seeing Melissa and Michaela in the audience mm-hmm. for Andre's performance, because that's Tandy's mom, and we haven't seen Michaela in a while, so it was bummed to know that the stakes are even higher at this moment.
Yeah, my daggered moment was someone in the chat said my hair looked good. No, I'm just kidding.
Which it does.
Thank you.
Hell yeah.
My daggered moment definitely would be, I just really like seeing Tyrone, like, step up to the plate and, like, kind of like put, like, that whole scene of him just throwing people off, like, I was living. I was at home like, yo, he just did that. Like, he, no hesitation, just and then caught him.
Yeah.
But my cloaked moment would be my cloaked moment probably would be, like, them all disappearing. Like, where are
right.
they?
Where all the good people go.
Right? And then, like, when he was playing the note and, like, did you see how, like, his sign was, like, lighting up?
Right.
I was like, no, stop that. Don't do
keep
it.
Keep it locked.
Stop
keep it.
It
locked.
I wanted to, like, blip. Stop it.
Michael Cullen in the chat, and I will shout you guys all out in just a second, said Dagger was Tyrone finally becoming Cloak. Yeah, he full, that has to be mine. Like, he full, like, kind full of what on. Drew was saying, he's full on Cloak now. So that was a great way of just making that simple for us.
Yeah, that was great.
Thank you. My cloaked moment was, yeah, I guess seeing Tandy's mom in the audience, Michaela in the musical audience, and then Leah's backstory was really sad.
Yeah.
Only because she just got swept into something really, really, really dark. Yeah. And she didn't start that way.
Exactly. She didn't want that to happen. It was basically her. She was in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Mm-hmm.
I hate Andre. Andre, you're terrible.
And then there was, the Karen Page mention.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What's that? What was that?
I don't remember where it was exactly, but I remember reading that there was two, like, Easter eggs. So Luke Cage and Karen.
Oh, Karen from Daredevil.
Yeah.
Duh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm
just kind of depressed because those shows are ending, or those shows have been ended.
Yeah.
On Netflix.
Yeah. But
we love those shows.
Anyways, you guys, I do want to shout you out in the chat as right after we get into some news and gossip.
Yes, Steph. Yes. Take it away, girl.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Okay, so the major news and gossip, like you guys have all been saying in the comments, we don't know if there is a season 3 yet.
Mm-hmm.
Speculation has it that there will be a season 3 as it's Marvel and now Disney owned.
Yeah.
So I guess we're kind of thinking we don't know what platform it is, but this is why social media is so important. We saw it with Lucifer, hopefully with One Day at a Time, shows like that. We need to keep pressing tweets, everything. Mm-hmm. Shout it out because let people know that you're watching the show, you love the show, and you want to see season 3.
Yes.
I will say that Disney's doing their own platform and pushing a lot of Marvel shows. So I personally wouldn't be surprised if we saw Cloaked and Dagger get moved over.
Mm.
But I feel like that would leave open the possibility of crossovers because, you know, Winter Soldier and Falcon are getting a show together. And I just, like, really want that crossover so bad. I know it's MCU and just whatever, but I don't care. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
They have the money to do it. They should do it.
It's Disney.
It's Disney.
Other thing is I always shout out Joe Pekowski's tweets because...
The Guad.
And I love shouting out the people behind these shows, because this show in particular, because it's just so well done to me. This was written by Kenyon Alley and Pete Calloway and directed by Amon. I'm sorry if I'm butchering that, but I wanted to... Amy Cannon Man. Sorry. I was reading his Twitter thing, but... Also, I want to get into some chat shout-outs. Aaron Robinson, Big Face Hundreds, Ivan Soto, Michael Cullen, Shayna Jones, Jazzy Jones.
Yes.
There was
no affiliation.
Eric James, Aaron Robinson.
Mel P.
I feel like there was... Oh, Chanel Tarte Minor. I saw you in the chat. I didn't want to forget that one. Star Drew, always rocking with us. You guys make this so fun. Thank you guys so much for being a part of it. And we will definitely keep you guys incorporated in the season finale because we do have a very special guest coming. We're working on more. We want to pack the house. So
listen... They don't believe me that y'all want to see them. So you all have to go blow up their Instagrams.
And tag us all.
You have to.
Have to.
Absolutely. You want to win? Yeah, because if you do that, you might win this comic book too, which all you got to do, give us that 5-star on iTunes or in the comments. And then on finale night, which is next week, we will announce the winner. And the winner will win the comic book. And they just have to send us the DM, slide into them, and give us the address, and we will send it to you. But if you want, we can hold on to it, like Drew said, on Comic-Con, and we can have more cast and crew sign it, because we want to make this the best giveaway ever. Right, Drew? Right, Steph?
Yes. Right.
Absolutely. Well, we're ending soon, but we got to get predictions, so quick predictions.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Who wants to go first?
Drew.
Really hard. We got the season finale.
I think we've played with the Dark Dimension so much this season that I feel like Despair is going to deal with whatever the opposite of that is that Tandy resides in, you know?
Mm.
And I think Tandy is going to be able to cure whatever situation is going on with Despair. And it's going to be very, like, feminist, badass, like, moment of taking my power back.
Yeah.
And I'm here for it.
Totally agree. Joe Pekowski also had a tweet. He shared a thread from a woman who pointed out the scene of Mayhem and Bridget with the nails. And called to how well-written it was and the women reclaiming what is theirs and kind of taking back the violence put on them or the trauma put on them. So I definitely think that we're going to have some sort of full circle with that. Mm. And despair is going to die. And I'm going to happy about it, okay?
I completely agree that Andre will be defeated for sure. And I think I agree that Tandy's going to play a huge part in it. I did just realize now that I feel like Mayhem really wanted to take down Connors. But knowing that Adina took down Connors, I feel like I was happy that happened. But I was wondering if Mayhem is still out for Connors, even though he's dead, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. But I also think keeping Leah alive might be a bad thing because they made it seem like it. And I think Tandy and Tyrone are going to become official now. Putting it out there. Sorry, Evita. I think it's leading. Maybe they're going to kiss on finale night. I don't know. It's got to be coming.
Speaking of Evita, you guys, next week we will have Evita, Noelle, Renee, Bercy in the house.
Yes.
So get ready for that.
She's our finale queen.
Right? But she is.
Yeah. We have to go, you guys.
Well, until then, where can I find my fabulous panel on social media?
We don't want to go, but we have to go. I'm Steph Sabra. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Steph Sabra.
And I'm Drew Jones. You guys asked for it, so we're going to give it to you. We start the Society After Show next week. I will be tweeting out all the details about it. But if you want for now, you can slide into the DMs at OKDrewJ.
Oh, yeah. Let me know if that show's good.
It's so good.
I've heard some things.
Someone asked if Miss Drew Jones was single, and I have to say yes.
And that will. And I'm your host, Ollie Jen, and follow me on all social media platforms at Ollie Dreamer. I did just start a Twitch, so you guys should follow me at Ollie Dreamer and watch me play video games and drink wine and talk about Cloak and Dagger. Why not? But until then, we will see you back with Carla on finale night. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.